Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I live near Parnell Park now. Maybe I'll just support Dublin.
Yeah.
You know, through the prism of my children.
Poor old Will over there supports all the Midlands teams. He doesn't see borders.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 23 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and the crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. And for members this week, we have an exclusive preview, Racing Pod style, of the next week's National Hunt Festival at Punchestown. So subscribe now for all the juicy info and previews. Willie Mullins on the title. Johnny Ward, how are you today? It's going to be a big day at Sandown on Saturday and a coronation for Willie Mullins, the first Irish trainer to have a UK title in 70 years. Great stuff.
It is. It's really amazing stuff. I hope he would win the, shall we say, the manager of the year this year, JD. I don't know if people in sport appreciate the achievement. People almost expected from Willie Mullins that he's going to win all these races, but to, you know, run away with the Irish title and then, you know, likely win the British one as well on the this is on the back of a season which he really wasn't trying to win the title per se. I don't think it was anything like a priority. But once he had such a good Cheltenham, all of a sudden he starts to realise the battle between he, Dan Skelton, and Paul Nicholls was one that he actually might be able to win. And then it sort of all hinged on him winning the Randocks Grand National, and it's $500,000 prize money just for the winner alone. And he obviously managed that with Aya Maximus. And I think what needs to be said here is that he's built up the team over the years. You know, Willie's training a long time, but Tourist Attraction would have been his first Cheltenham winner. He wasn't a dominant force at Cheltenham for most of his life. And he's built up a team now where he's able to attract top owners of various nationalities, American, British, Irish, and the rest. He's also able to delegate in terms of the yard. He's really good staff on the ground and really good riders as well. Even when Paul Townend isn't around, he has very good riders. He just has a really good team. Obviously, his gallops as well, JD. You've been at the gallops. He's really deep gallops to get the horses fit. They seem to hold their form well into Punchestown, which is obviously next week. And to win this title, you know, Vincent O'Brien winning it would have been a greater achievement in those days, considering the complexities involved. But for Willie to do it now and probably targeted again next year is really significant.
Champion hurdle win with State Man, Gold Cup with Galopin des Champs, both the Cheltenham Grand National, as you say, I am Maximus, and Scottish Grand National last week with your Tip McDermott, Johnny. Take a bow, McDermott.
Yeah, did the job in a gritty fashion. We were watching it on the show, actually. I think I said at the time I thought he'd actually been beaten. He was sent off a huge price. He was a horse that was quite unexposed. And yeah, since we started this pod, JD, we've given some really good price winners. You know, if you're following our tips week in, week out so far, you're doing really well. And this was another magnificent performance from a horse that really wouldn't be anywhere near the stable stars in Close Sutton, and he had to show a good attitude, quite unexposed stepping up and trip, and maybe it was the selfie with me a few days beforehand that ultimately decided the race.
More selfies with horses, please, Johnny, as we get into the flat season. Aidan O'Brien, Vincent O'Brien, Paddy Prendergast have won the UK Championship of the flat, but not since 1954, and Vincent has been a jumps trainer from Ireland, winning the UK title, which Willie will do tomorrow. Only 25 winners. That just shows, as you said, they didn't target it, but it just kind of happened organically. And they've really thrown the kitchen sink in the last week. Like Patrick Mullins, I think he went to Ludlow. They've been having runners at Perth. They've really gone for it, and it's going to pay off. They're about $200,000 clear of Dan Skelton.
Yeah, Gavin Cromwell has kind of targeted Britain this year in terms of, I think, deliberately deciding that if you want a race plan and it costs maybe $1,000 per horse, but less if you bring over a few, that to go to Britain can pay off. We also have an issue, JD, and I think the narrative has been a little bit revised now over the last year or so, where Irish prize money relative to Britain really isn't that great. And in certain instances, Lee Marsnett had an article in the Race of Us about this recently. In certain instances, the British prize money is actually a good bit better. And if you can target races that Willie Mullins hasn't been running in, as Gavin Cromwell did, you'll pick up some nice prizes. And you could have a winner at Cheltenham in November, a winner at Cheltenham, you know, at some other point in the season, which as an owner is obviously a dream, regardless of what time it is at Cheltenham. So Willie has now come in, and with all his winners at Cheltenham and his utter dominance there, 9 winners, he's given it a good go. And Patrick spoke as well, his son, about how it's really kind of been a very lively thing for the yard, that it's added a lot of life to the yard. Not that it would have needed much life added to the yard, but just the fact that they've gone to these kind of obscure enough tracks with 1-7 shots, Daddy Long Legs, and also JD, I'm on the way to Downpatrick. I'm stopped here in Rath for Ireland, and Paul Townend is going to Downpatrick for one ride on a horse, Surf Club, who would absolutely not be running at Downpatrick 4 days after winning the Chase, only for Paul is going for the title. So we have this aspect of it where Paul is going to Downpatrick for one ride and is trailing Paul Town, or is trailing Jack Kennedy, I think, you know, for the last while, and has a battle on going to Punchdown. And you have obviously Willie trying to win the trainer's title in Britain as well. So there's a lot going on.
121 for Jack, 115 for Paul going into Friday's action. I don't know. Like, Punchdown probably will be in Paul's favour with the ammunition that Willie will throw at us, but it's exciting. Like, Keith Lunder, who's next on 61.
Yeah, and funny enough, Keith has probably had every bit as outstanding a season as them, considering, you know, he's had to really manage his weight, and he can only do certain weights and all of that. And he's attached himself to the Gavin Cromwell yard, having been more so associated with Gordon Elliott. And his brother Ian as well has had an outstanding time of it of late with his winners. And Keith's had an unbelievable season for a guy who looked like he was retiring there a few years ago because of weight issues. The other two, obviously, as you mentioned, well, Claire, Jack just turned 25 during the week. He has broken his leg so many times. It's astounding. He's finally gotten a good run at it. And it is good for the narrative. Like, I did a preview for Punchdown with William Hill yesterday with Barry Geraghty, Sean Flanagan and Jane Mangan. And I was, you know, the more I looked at it, the more I'm buzzing for the festival, particularly because we have this, it's not even a sideshow. It's one of the main aspects of the week, who will win the jockey's title. And let's be honest, the main goodwill will be towards Jack because of the injuries he's had. And Paul has, you know, been the dominant force in racing for quite some time since Ruby Walsh retired. So there'll be a lot of goodwill towards Jack to win it for the first time. But even if he doesn't, I think he'll acknowledge that they both had amazing campaigns. And it's funny as well, JD, how much history is written by the winners. Jack reminded me at Nace recently that he's been second to Paul Townend in the Champion Hurdle, the Gold Cup, and the Grand National. And people don't remember that because, like, who comes second? Who cares? Paul Townend won the big races, but he might not come second next week. We have a hell of a race in store.
Yeah, with 18 Cheltenham winners for Ireland, Aintree winner, Scottish Grand National winner. We've never been a better nick in terms of our jumpers. It makes for an exciting festival Tuesday to Saturday. I think they've really got their act together in the recent years, Punchestown. I think they've a great service for the punter who goes. They're punter friendly. Like, €30 is a bargain. You're talking about, like, Cheltenham prices to get into the race course. It's access all areas. There's a really good bar. There's a band that plays after racing. Good screens. Shops. I think it's class, Johnny, personally. And if it wasn't class, I'd say it as well.
Yeah, talk of you getting some cigars next week. Would that be right?
Possibly. Maybe once a year.
Hinted, yeah. Not a bad Gerard Gilroy impression there. But you and I, JD, let's not lie. When we went Wednesday of last year, we had a very good time. We met a lot of randomers, some of whom I'm still in contact with. We backed a few winners. It was very easy access, as you say. It wasn't like the crowds weren't mad. Not overly expensive. They don't fleece you. And they have a new kind of covered area just near the... I was yesterday. They have a new kind of... I don't know how you describe it. It's like they've all these kind of barrels for your beers or whatever, very near the parade ring, between the parade ring and the stand. And it's kind of like a covered section that's quite, it's almost like something at a festival or a gig. And I think that's going to be a really, really cool place to be next week. And there's lots of work going on at Punchdown yesterday. They're hoping to attract as many overseas runners as possible. I'd hope that you'd have possibly Shishkin and maybe Sergino for Nicky Henderson, who is going to stay with Jessica Harrington, and Michael Buckley will be staying with the Madam of Moon, the one of the real stars of Irish racing, Jessica Harrington, next week. So there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, they're all always good friends, back to Johnny Harrington and Jessica and the Hendersons, all good friends. It's great to see Nicky come over. We have as well. 2:30 starts the first 2 days, just brought back a little bit, and then the 3:40 start from Thursday onwards at Punchestown. Get yourself down there, folks, if you can, for the racing there next week. The gambling bill, Johnny, I do want to talk about this actually in the free tire section. There's a regulation bill being brought through the Dáil to tighten up the sector, right? I think that's needed. Section 141 of it will ban advertising by betting companies on television between 5:30 in the morning and 9:00 at night. There is a concern in racing circles it could put the racing TV service in jeopardy, as it may not be economically or financially viable for them to broadcast in Ireland without being able to relay betting adverts on what we would say is a niche channel. Now, Suzanne Ead, the boss of Horse Racing Ireland, told the Racing Post this week that racing will remain on Irish TV screens. The quote, yes, absolutely. We just wouldn't let that happen, as in it not being on the screens. The racing industry in general is supportive of the bill. 30,000 people employed in the industry, 2.4 billion generated for the Exchequer. Racing communities hoping that the specialist racing channels might get an exemption when it comes to the transmission of betting ads. I feel that the betting industry as a whole hasn't done itself any favours in the last 20 to 30 years in terms of the advertising, and it could be argued at times the insidious nature of some of the advertising. But I'm also not a person who is in favour of nanny statism either. I think that James Brown sees it as a public health issue. Gambling is definitely a problem in certain aspects of society, and I think it has to be regulated now in a modern way, which it hasn't been. But the television issue, Johnny, do you see it getting to the stage where racing is not on Irish TV screens, apart from the RT big festivals and big meetings?
I suppose, firstly, like I do bits for Racing TV. I'm on the way to Downpatrick to work for Racing TV now. So, you know, there is obviously a conflict of interest in me talking about this, but it doesn't actually colour my judgment at all, to be honest. And I do, you know, the odd bit of nixers for gambling companies as well. And as you say, JD, gambling companies down the years have behaved in a really bad way in terms of some of the practices that they got away with. But things have changed. Things have massively changed. And now it's gotten to the stage where the funding of racing itself is under serious jeopardy, not because of, you know, the government putting money into racing, but because of the money coming from gambling itself is really being reduced by affordability checks and a lot of draconian measures for me that are basically an imposition on personal freedoms and all of that. And to be fair to the bookmakers, and I found this personally, it's really, really hard as the years have gone on. The bookmakers have taken measures in terms of affordability checks and restricting gamblers from behaving in a responsible manner. They really have done this, and you could say maybe it's not for the goodness of the health of everyone. It's because there are big fines out there if you infringe. But this is happening, and gambling is way, way safer than when I got involved, say, 20 years ago. Way, way safer now. The issue with the gambling regulation bill, this proposed ban on gambling advertising during the day, but not at night, we'll say at halftime during a football game, for me is just a complete nonsense. Digital is really where it's at, but on the side of the TV, Racing TV, RMG have said that it wouldn't be viable for them to show Irish racing were it not for the ability to show betting ads on a subscription channel during racing being shown during the day. I feel this is totally over the top, to be honest, but if Racing TV is saying it's not viable for us to run this channel without being able to show betting ads on a racing channel that you have to be over 18 to subscribe to during the day, I subscribe to that, to be honest. I get where they're coming from, and I hope a solution can be found.
Okay, and Suzanne Ida said that they wouldn't let it happen. So look, wherever the money's got to come from, it's got to come from somewhere to keep the Irish racing on TV screens outside of the very big meetings that would be on terrestrial television. Okay, the big race tomorrow is the Grade 1 Celebration Chase at Sandown. Is this between El Fabiolo and John Bond, Johnny? Because I can't really see either of them losing. Like, I can't see a third horse winning this, effectively, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I'm always wary saying that. I remember being at the Curragh one day for the Racing Post, and I said I'd narrowed this race down to four horses who could win it, and it was hard to see anything else win it. None of the four finished placed. And after that, I said I'm never going to be that dogmatic about a race again, even if it's a 1-to-1,000 shot. So John Bond and El Fabiolo. John Bond, you know, he is a little bit hit and miss for a horse of his ability. He's obviously an extremely expensive horse who came good and beat Conflated at Aintree. I'd love to see these horses at Punchestown, to be honest. For the William Hill sponsored race, but it's obviously key to the, you know, or Willie thought it would be key to winning the title. El Fabiolo, I'd be a little bit worried about Alfabiola tomorrow, JD, because it was clear the way Willie spoke at the yard visit last week that the horse wasn't really right when he came back initially from Cheltenham. And you could say it was a mistake. And I thought Paul Townend really behaved in a welfare situation. 10 out of 10 for Paul Townend, pulled the horse up. For me, that's a slight concern, just the fact that he... wasn't right and needed a little bit of recuperation time after Cheltenham. So horses at this stage of the season, there's always a little bit of a risk back in an odds on shot. So I'd be almost inclined to back John Bond at the prices. I think if he can, Nicky Henderson said at Cheltenham last year, and John Bond wasn't quite right when he was hammered by Alfabiola. Other than that, he's been pretty, he's been the best 2 mile chaser in Britain anyway, and one of them is 9-4 and the other one is 4-6, so I'd be tentatively with John Bond. But what a race we have as well, you know. It's Cheltenham's over, Aintree's over, Punchdown is come, but John Bond versus Alfabiola, this is going to be an absolute cracker. Just at the prices, Paul Townend heading over to Sandown, just at the prices, I'd be with John Bond.
Yeah, and they've met before, as you said. They met in a hurdle race at Aintree, which John Bond won a few years ago, and then Alfabiola beat him in the Arkle Chase at Cheltenham last year. The rest of them I can't really see. I know what you're thinking is, but Booge Hill, Editor Jijish, Edward Stone, Elixir de Nuts, Nuba Negra, I'd be surprised to see any of them win. I don't really have a strong view. I think if Alfabiola's jumping's better, I think he wins, but that's the question mark. Remember, I was asked in the Irish Field, is there anything that could beat Alfabiola in the champion chase? And I just said two words in the article, his jumping. And this is Jumps Racing. So that's the celebration chase. The one that I used to call the Whitbread, the Gold Cup. It's now the Bet365 Gold Cup at Sandown, 3:35 on Saturday. A load of runners in this, Johnny. Manella Cocooner was third in the Irish National. Am I Right? A lot of money for that for Rachel Blackmore. Kitty's Light, who's won the race before, is the favourite. Have you kind of narrowed this down to a handful?
It's tough, and in the sense that I'm not mad at these kind of top handicap chases, because I generally feel horses don't have much in hand, and this is a race in which a lot of these horses are pretty much handicapped to the hilt or thereabouts. I mean, when you see Am I Right and Le Milos, second and third favourite, you could certainly pick holes in them. But I do like Kitty's Light here for Christian Williams, JD, and Jack Tudor in the plate on this gelding, who is by Nathaniel, no less. And he's an eight-year-old by Nathaniel, which makes me feel old, because it feels like Nathaniel was only around the other day. But ran in the National behind I Am Maximus, and I thought that was an incredibly good run, really, for a horse that was, you know, the best of the English on the day. You know, he's been running actually on quite testing ground at times, but he's a pound lower here, and I feel this test is kind of perfect for him. He's had 2 weeks to recover from Aintree. Nick Rocket is a really intriguing runner under Paul Townend. Small bit disappointed maybe at Fairy House. His jumping was a bit hit and miss. This is a different jumping test, and that run behind American Mike, he still has lots of potential, this horse, and he's one of the few that could have a bit in hand. Manella Cocooner, his stablemate Danny Mullins, often the go-to man in these races. Rock solid run in the same race at 20-1. I thought that was better from him. Obviously reverse form with American Mike, his stablemate Nick Rocket from that run behind American Mike. And it's gonna be a really intriguing race in terms of the Irish charge, and Willie having others in it as well. But yeah, Christian Williams, people remember him riding and his riding days, Welsh guy with a proper Welsh accent and a good promising young trainer, and he's like course and distance winner into the bargain.
Am I Right, only 11 runs on the clock, 8 years of age now, off 11 stone, wants good ground, I feel, and should be the head of the handicapper. But this horse, he was favourite for the Irish Grand National last year. There's always money for him. He's been backed again. He's now a second favourite. He must be a great horse in the gallops, this Am I Right?
Yeah, it's probably slightly on connections as well, but you're right, JD. Like, since his novice days, he's been very well touted in these handicaps. And to be fair, the run behind Meeting of the Waters was solid. And that was a race, you know, probably better race than this, and you proper horses who are good kind of handicap types. Real Steel was third, Panda Boy second, Meeting of the Waters won it. That is really solid form. One thing I would say in his favour, for all that you may say he's obviously shown on the gallops, Henry de Bromhead's horses are in incredible form. He had three winners across the two cards during the week, Tipperary and Gorn, had more winners since, and he's gone into Punchdown in splendid form. So that's a major boost, and it'd be nice on the Saturday before Punchdown race, shown on British TV, for Rachel to have the winner of the big one.
I don't think Flash to Duzain is going to get in as the first reserve or second reserve. But if it does get in, he's 100-1 shot. And I don't think he's 100-1 shot. He's very interesting for me. Liz Doyle, he was third in the Scottish National last season, with 300 through five behind him. He's in and out, but if he gets into the race, folks, don't forget Flash to Zane at 100 to 1. The one I'm going to go for, though, Johnny's Manella Kakuner. Now, he's got a lot of weight under Danny Mullins, but that wasn't a welter burden that really hampered his chance in the Irish Grand National when he was third, not far behind Intense Raffles. I think the ground will suit him. He was a grade one hurdle horse as a novice, and I think that Danny Mullins might get a tune out of him. I think with Manella Kakuner, you know that he stays, and at 8 to 1, I think he's a good each-way bet.
Yeah, he is solid. You know, he was a horse that was really, really promising as a novice herder. And that handicap experience is vital here. Definite chance. And it probably was a tricky one for Paul to pick between the pair.
Okay, make mine a double J. Manella Kakuner, 8 to 1 each way for me. Johnny, do you want to go for Kitty's Lights or something else for the make mine a double J?
I'll go for Kitty's Lights. We've had a bit of success in terms of putting up a couple of horses in the same race of late, notably last week, Jiddy, where you had a nice price winner as well. So I'll go with Kitty's Light in this. Might get a bit of 4-1 with William Hill tomorrow.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look ahead now to Punchestown next week, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast every Friday with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.